A famous writer wrote these words, "Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude." That was written by William Shakespeare. Gratitude is actually responsible for us wanting to live a holy life. We call that in theology sanctification. The desire to please God, the desire to live a more holy life, springs from the desire of gratitude. We're grateful. So many of the songs reflect it, more of Jesus or a desire to be like him. It's gratitude that prompts all of that. Look at these two verses, one out of Ephesians 2:7, "In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So when someone shows you kindness, they go out of their way, it is a normal reaction to feel gratitude that they have given you this gift or they've gone out of their way. But the scriptures teach us God has shown us his rich kindness, the riches of his grace. That's all God's kindness being poured out upon us. In Titus chapter 3, verse 7, "But when there's the word, kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." So sanctification, or this holy desire for holiness, is a desire to want to allow God to transform us. When we came to him, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, as the Bible says. We have an enormous amount of baggage of sin, our own guilt. We're laden with guilt and shame, and God frees us from that. But we don't just step out of it. We have to be led out, and we call it progressive sanctification. It's a process where the Lord works in us day by day, week by week, month by month. Notice in Acts, in this verse, "I will rescue you from your own people, from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them." This is given to the Apostle Paul, describing his ministry, "to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light." That's sanctification, from opening their eyes from darkness to light. When you didn't know the Lord, what you thought was totally permissible for your life, when you come to know him, you suddenly realize that's darkness, and you go to the light, from the power of Satan to God. The way addictions and sin shackles us, that's the power of Satan, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified. There's our word, sanctified or made holy by faith in me. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Now, the desire to live a holy life should grow with us. It's certainly not automatic, because I know too many Christians that are still have a lot of the world in them. They have rudeness. They still have a lot of their own baggage. So it's certainly not automatic. Just because you give your heart to the Lord doesn't mean you're made instantly holy. Now, we are made righteous in that we're acceptable to the Lord, but living this holy life has to spring from inside of us. God doesn't make us be holy. Just like he doesn't make us accept his son, he doesn't make us be holy. That's our choice. We choose to live a holy life. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 3:12. "Not that I have already obtained all this." He's talking about the sanctification here. "Or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now that verse is a total refutation for the doctrine of sanctification as a second work of grace. How many have ever heard that? There are churches who believe that sanctification is a second work of grace. We do not, in the theology of the Summons of God, believe that. We believe in the progressive work of sanctification. So here's how the people believe who believe that sanctification is a second work of grace. The first one being you're saved, and then you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you continue to seek God in the same way that you sought him, and then you are sanctified. You're not going to have a battle with sin anymore in your life because you are sanctified. The problem with that, here is the Apostle Paul, who's the author of 13 books of the New Testament, and when he wrote the Philippians, he's at the climax of his life, and he's saying, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect yet. I'm still striving for it. He's talking about sanctification. It's very clear. That's the subject. And that's because sanctification is a progressive work. We know that we're not saved by works. We don't get saved by being good or presenting works to the Lord. That's very clear. The Bible makes that clear. So we know that faith comes before sanctification or this holiness, because that's the desire, that's what prompts the desire. But gratitude is what propels us and keeps us persevering toward wanting to live a holy life before the Lord. Let's look at Romans 3:22, a very, very fundamental passage about salvation and sanctification, all in one paragraph right here. Romans 3:22, this righteousness, which clearly does not come created of our own, it comes from God as we receive Christ. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So God does this great work in our life, and he saves us, though we're sinners. But shall we go on sinning? Paul, in this same book, by the time he continues that theme in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he arrives at a climax in Romans and says, shall we go on sinning? Because the book of Romans is all about stating the fact that we are all sinners. We're all like sheep. We've all gone our own way. And then we meet Christ, and he saves us, and he justifies us, or he makes us righteous. But he says, shall we go on sinning? Because if we do, Christ is going to forgive us. But what Paul is stating is that there is in the true believer a desire to stop sinning. You really want to please God, and you want to separate yourself from your past life, your own desire. Now, I have something here. I want you to pay close attention to this, because I think it's going to help us. This was actually written by Augustine. You'll have to follow me here, but it'll actually help you in understanding the doctrine of sanctification, which I think is tied very closely to gratitude. Ungrateful people remain very unchristlike, very much like they were before they came to know the Lord. But grateful people progress in their sanctification or their holiness. So Augustine wrote this. So he says, number one, able to sin before the fall. So Adam and Eve, we know they were able to sin. God created them with the ability to sin because they sinned in the garden. He gave them the ability to disobey God. They did, and they sinned. Now here's his table here. He says, so next, not able not to sin after the fall. Let me read that again. Not able not to sin. So that's where every person is after the fall. Before you meet Christ, you are not able not to sin. Then we meet Christ and he transforms our hearts. And this is what Augustine says, able not to sin. Able not to sin. That's where we are right now. Now, when the Lord takes us to heaven, this is what heaven will be like. Not able to sin. So here is a really important idea that we should really incorporate. How many Christians do you know have the desire to live a life and not sin? We don't have to sin. Now, are we incapable of sinning? No, there's too much evidence of Christians around us to buy into that. And the doctrine that the sanctification is a second work of grace, so that you're sanctified and you don't sin anymore, is a nice idea, but it's just simply not true. It's not in the evidence around us. But you can, if you have a grateful heart, get to the place where you don't want to sin. Sin is disgusting. Sin is repulsive. Sin is something that you don't want to associate in your life, because there was a time when you weren't able to keep from sinning. But now, because Christ has saved you, and because of this gratitude, you don't have to sin. That's what gratitude does for us, because it puts this desire in us to actually live for the Lord. Now, a few years ago, I studied the lyrics of the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And the lyrics of that song were just so powerful to me. So every time that a song really ministers to me, I usually try to find the story behind it. And the story behind this song is really powerful. The guy who wrote this song, he actually lived in, he was born in 1735. He died in 1790. His name was Robert Robinson. So when he was a teenager, he was pretty wild. His mother couldn't control him. And she was trying to get him into an apprenticeship with a barber shop, but the barber shop kicked him out because she said the barber said he didn't want to really learn. So he was really aimlessly. He was 17, and him and a buddy decided to go hear a preacher named George Whitfield and see if they couldn't cause problems, just cause a ruckus. And they went. But instead of causing a ruckus, they heard the most powerful message. And Robinson said that he felt like that Whitfield's message was directed to him. But he didn't receive the Lord. He tried to forget it as much as he could. But 3 years later, that message had just continued to penetrate and penetrate. Till 3 years later, he gave his heart to the Lord. And immediately, he felt a call to preach. And he actually began to preach. That first year, he had begun to preach in different churches, and there was definitely a call on his life, and people were coming to know the Lord. And one evening, when he was in Norfolk, England, he was preparing and praying for the service. He began to look over his life, 21 years of age, and how far he had run from God, and how great his desire was to live a holy life, yet how prone he was to do the very opposite. And he knew that if he really lived a righteous life, it would be because God honors his desire. That's what he wanted. And that's what this song is about. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs loud as praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. So when we say it's all about Jesus, it's about Jesus dying on the cross. Sorrowing I shall be in spirit, till release from flesh and sin, Yet from what I do inherit, here thy praises I'll begin. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. How his kindness yet pursues me, mortal tongue can never tell. Clothed in flesh till death shall loose me, I cannot proclaim it well. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I am constrained to be. There's the gratitude. Constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. There's that tendency. That's why we don't believe that it's just a work. It's all done. We're like Paul. I haven't made it. I'm just reaching for it, and I'll keep doing it till I get home. Bind my wandering heart to thee, prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. And here's the last one. Oh, that day when, freed from sinning, I actually look forward to heaven in so many ways. You get rid of this old worn out body. But we get rid of the curse, this proneness to walk away from the ideas that we've embraced, the God who we want to be like, and yet our tendency is to do the opposite. Prone, he says. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Do you have that desire to live a holy life before the Lord? That's how it gets started. It's gratitude. That's why you serve the Lord. That's why you share your faith. That's why you minister to people in need. That's why you get involved in ministry. It's gratitude. That's why we allow the Lord to lead us in a sanctified life, because it's gratitude, a desire to be like Him.